Hi, this is Chris Morgan, Senior Pastor of Cornerstone Fellowship Church. We're a non-denominational, full gospel church located in Matthews County, Virginia. Thank you for listening to today's message. We believe you'll be encouraged. For more information about us, visit gocfc.com. God bless and enjoy.
With prayer, hallelujah. Father, we come before you this morning with enthusiasm and excitement about your word today. We thank you for your word, hallelujah, that your word is living power. It is all that you are. It can do all you can do. We trust you today. We lean on you today. You are the life giver, the life preserver, the life sustainer. Hallelujah. All life comes from you. We thank you for the mighty Holy Spirit in this place today, bringing revelation, knowledge, and understanding into the heart of each listener that they'll never be the same as they came in Jesus' name. You know exactly where each one is and exactly what they need to hear in order to receive what they believe for. We thank you, Lord God, for granting me utterance today in the Holy Ghost. Think through my thoughts, speak through my lips your words today. And we thank you ahead of time for all that you'll do and say today in Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. You believe that? Praise God. We like to welcome everybody here today, even those online with us today. We welcome you. Glad you are tuning in with us. Hallelujah. And just like we always say, the same way that you exercise your faith in this class is the same way you exercise your faith right there in your home or wherever you might be listening today, tuning in with us. God is no respecter of persons, but he is a respecter of faith. Your faith puts you on God's radar screen. It shows up on his radar screen when he sees your faith in action, believe in him beyond what you can see, feel, touch, taste, and smell. That means beyond your five physical senses, beyond sense knowledge. But because God has said it, you believe it, you've made Jesus the chief physician, you've made Jesus the great physician, your chief physician. And that's quite important. So we're going to start out today and make our confession together concerning the Word of God. The Word is enough for me. I believe I am who it says I am. I have what it says I have. I can do what it says I can do. Today, I receive the incorruptible, indestructible Word of God into my heart, and I will never be the same. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. Well, we started last week talking about healing and that healing can be a process. It can be gradual. You know, sometimes our faith produces a instant healing, and there are such things as healing miracles, which happen instantly. You got the full manifestation right then, right there. And then there are other times that your faith will produce a gradual or a process healing. And we need to know what to do when it is a gradual healing. We need to accept both of them. I said we need to learn to accept both of them, because Jesus even told us in the book of Mark, chapter 16, verses 17, 18, he said that the believing ones or the believers shall lay their hands on the sick and they shall recover. And that word recover is a process. It's a process. And we looked at last week, and even in what we looked at last week with the nobleman's son, the second miracle, sign and wonder that Jesus did, we found out that it was a gradual healing that took place. It was not instantaneous. And sometimes our minds and what we hear, we tend to think that everything needs to be instantaneous, and sometimes it is not. So we need to know how to keep the switch of faith turned on if it is a process healing or a gradual healing. And I'm going to go over some statements that was made last week concerning this and then bring up a couple of things just to review, to go over, because not everybody was here. But we said that healing is not always instantaneous and it can be a process. We said that everything that is supernatural isn't always instantaneous. We said many times the healing power of God is administered to a person, and the healing process becomes evident later on. Yep. And then I gave that example about that woman that Brother Hagin ministered to when she came into his healing line, and she had been diagnosed with cancer. In fact, it was so bad that she was weak, and her husband wheeled her up there in the wheelchair, and Brother Hagin laid hands on her. And her husband wheeled her back to her seat, and in the natural, it looked like nothing had happened or taken place. Listen to me now. This is where we cannot allow our minds and our bodies to dictate or tell us something different unless our mind has been renewed and it is in agreement with our heart. So she went home, and every day her and her husband would rejoice and thank God that she was healed, no matter what it felt like, no matter what it looked like, for 11 days. Listen to me now. I said for 11 days she praised, her and her husband together, they praised and they thanked God that she was healed. On the 11th day when she got up, usually she got up every morning, she was in horrible pain and be crying out in pain. The 11th day she got up, and guess what? There was no pain. Hallelujah. She waited 3 days, took no medication. There were no symptoms in her body. Look, listen to me now. Waited 3 days, took no medication, no symptoms in her body. Goes back to the doctors. And when the doctors ran the test, they could not find any cancer. We're talking about healing can be a process and healing can be gradual. Yep. And we need to know how to keep the switch of faith turned on, even when it may not feel like or look like something happened. We have to be fully persuaded and convinced that the moment we release our faith, listen to me now, whether we release our faith when hands are laid on us, whether we release our faith sitting right there in your seat, you're getting the word of God, that word is coming to you, you're getting built up, all of a sudden you're like, glory to God, I'm ready, hallelujah, to release my faith and believe that I receive, it's mine, I take it now. You can do that right there in your seat hearing the word of God. You don't have to wait for a healing line or hands to be laid. No, God's highest and his best, and we always endeavor to teach God's highest and his best in this healing center so that you know you don't have to be somewhere at a particular time and have hands laid on you to receive something from God. No. We have to learn how to bring what the spirit world says is already ours into this natural world. And our faith is the hand or the currency that we take, that we receive from heaven with. Our faith. And so we're learning to keep that switch of faith turned on. And many times with our own mouths, when we release our faith and we begin to act on and believe we receive, whether it was hands laid on us or whether you're sitting right there, it does not matter what you are feeling at that very moment. I said it does not matter what you are feeling at that moment. What does matter is what you are believing. What you are believing. And so with our mouth, see, our mouth is so vital and so important to our faith. Remember, Brother Hagin said this. He said, the supernatural swings on two hinges. You'll never get away from this as long as you live on this earth. What you believe with your heart, what you say with your mouth, constantly, not just in crisis, not just in hard times. We're talking about all the time. What are you believing for? What are you saying on a continual basis? It's a lifestyle. This is a lifestyle for the believer, for the Christian. Because our mind should be renewed so much so that we're in agreement with God and His Word, and our hearts are persuaded and convinced that no matter what it feels like or looks like, what God has said, that's what is. What God has said, that's what is for me. What God has said, that's what's true for me. So with our mouths, just like that woman did for those 11 days, her and her husband, raised their hands, praised God every single day. Every single day. 11 days went by. 11. Sometimes we want to give up after the first hour. 11 days. You know, I remember this woman came one time, and she had been diagnosed with cancer. She says, Pastor Debbie, they have found 3 tumors in my body, and they are malignant. And she was quite upset about it. And anyway, she kept coming. She heard the word of God. And so she got to the place where she was ready to release her faith, and she came up in the healing line. And so we laid hands on her and prayed for her, cursed those tumors, commanded them to die and shrink and dissolve and become nothing. And we're talking about gradual and process healing now. She waited a month. She went back to the doctors. The doctors did an exam on her and told her 2 of the 3 tumors were completely gone, but it was still one there. So when she came back to me, she goes, I don't understand it, Pastor Debbie. She says, the doctor said 2 of the tumors were completely gone, but there's still one there. I said, it's real simple. I said, your healing is a process. I said, if you keep the switch of faith turned on, that third one will also be gone in Jesus' name. It doesn't have no right to stay there. And so it's just learning what to do in that process when it can be gradual. And so it's staying fully convinced and not allowing another doctor's report. Nothing against doctors. Praise God, they're trying to help keep you alive too. I have nothing against them. Praise God for them. They can keep you here while you're trying to develop and grow in your faith. Praise God for that. But when you become fully persuaded in your heart and you're convinced in your heart, then there comes a time when you're just totally trusting the Lord. You're dependent on Him. Hallelujah. Praise God. And not anything else. Hallelujah. And just like that woman, when she woke up, didn't have any pain, so she waited 3 days, didn't take any medication, no symptoms returned, then she went back to the doctors. So we cannot be alarmed by what somebody, a doctor, might say, even though he said 2 are gone. I would have gone, hallelujah, and so is the third one. Glory, run around the court a couple of times. Hallelujah. But you know, it's because, and I'm not putting anybody down. No, I'm not belittling anybody. I'm just trying to get you to understand the importance of releasing your faith. I remember when working in the shipyard, riding on the bus and in the van was very, very important to me, because that was my time of pulling my scriptures out, reading my Bible, and meditating on the Word of God. And I remember the devil came against me, because the devil doesn't want you to get the word in your heart. So when opposition comes, just know why it's coming, because he does not want you to get that word in your heart. So I'm sitting there meditating and just enjoying the word of God and rolling it over in my heart, thinking on it, dwelling on it, muttering on the inside, speaking it outside when I can. And all of a sudden, out of nowhere, I said, all of a sudden, out of nowhere, motion sickness tried to come on me. I have never, ever had any trouble with motion sickness. When I was a little teeny thing and our dad would take us out in the boat, we would never get seasick. None of that. We were just used to any of that. Never had any problem. But all of a sudden, right out of nowhere, motion sickness. Well, Pastor Debbie, I've had that all my life and just thought I'd just take a pill and take it. I'm trying to help you. So what did you do, Pastor Debbie? So I'm right there on the front seat. Hallelujah. Because I also was ahead in charge of receiving and taking everybody's report when they come on and who paid and when they paid and all that for the driver on the bus. So I had a responsibility at that. So when the motion sickness began to hit me, and I mean, I felt like I was going to barf right in the floor. There is no other place. Hallelujah. And I was saying the whole time, I said, no, you don't. No, you don't, devil. No, you don't. No, you don't. You are not putting this motion sickness on me. I didn't have it before. I'm not going to have it now. I don't accept this. See, I was saying with my mouth, no, I don't accept this. I will not permit this. I will not allow this. Well, how were you feeling? I wasn't feeling too good. I kept saying, no, I don't accept this. I will not permit this. I am not going to allow this in my body. What did you do? I kept standing against it. I said, I bind you, devil. I command you to stop. Take your hands off my body right now in Jesus' name. What were you doing? I was putting resistance back against that which was trying to come against me. You can't just sit there and be quiet and hope that it's going to leave. No, you got to rise up, open your mouth, and declare what is so concerning you. Are you listening? You must, because this is where our speech center, our mouth, plays an important role, a vital role to our faith. The speech center is the dominion center of our lives. Your voice is your address into the realm of the spirit and your ticket out of Satan's domain. Very vital about what you're saying and how often you're saying it and what you believe in what you're saying. So I kept saying. I said, no, you don't, devil. You ain't putting this motion sickness on me. I don't take it. I don't accept it. I'm not going to allow it. I'm not going to permit it. I'm doing this under my breath going down the road. Because here's the driver right here. I got people behind me, people across from me on those seats. So you have to be wise at the same time. So you don't look foolish, crazy. You get what I'm coming from. Hallelujah. Same time, but you're standing your ground. Hallelujah. So time kept going. I mean, I felt like I just wanted to take a bag and put my head in it and just release. I said, no, you don't. No, you don't. I refuse to be sick. I will not be sick. I do not accept this motion sickness. Finally, it began to relieve. It began to lift. Listen to me now. It began to relieve, and then it began to lift, and then it was gone. Now, you think about that. It began to relieve, it began to lift, and then it was gone. Just like it came out of nowhere. I'm going down the road and feeling fine. Then all of a sudden, boom, here's that. Are you understanding? Who's the author of sickness and disease? Not God. No. Jesus came to redeem us from sickness and disease. Hallelujah. But you have to learn to stand your ground even in the midst of the fight. Because the Bible says, fight, 1 Timothy 6:12, fight the good fight of faith. Calls it a good fight because, why? It's already been declared at the end. Who wins? You're the winner. Hallelujah. So you're just lining yourself up with that win. Hallelujah. You're not trying to you're not trying to win in this battle. You're coming from the battle as the winner. It's already been declared. You are the winner, the overcomer, the more than conqueror. Hallelujah. Yeah. So when these things come and they test you, and Jesus didn't say if the storms come, he said when they come. They come to every single one of us because we live in a fallen world. And Satan is what? The little g god of this world system, not of the believer. You being a believer in here, he has no right, no place, no power over you unless you're giving it to him. And one way we can give him place is through our mouths and what we're saying on a continual basis. And our actions. So we said, because healing is not always instantaneous, many times people lose the beginning of their healing. The beginning. Because the moment you release your faith, whether you're sitting there with the hands being laid on you, and you say, glory to God, when so-and-so lays hands on me, bless God, I believe that healing power is going into me. Hallelujah. And I'm in my body, and it's affecting a cure and a wholeness. And that's what you believe. And the switch of faith is you continue to say, I believe I have received my healing. I believe I have received my healing. And then you act like it. What do? Well, I don't feel like doing nothing, but it ain't about a feeling. You might dance a little bit. You might rejoice. Hallelujah, God, I just want to praise you. I just want to thank you. Lord, Father, you're so good to me. Thank you for healing me. Thank you for restoring this body of mine. Thank you for healing my pain. Thank you, you carried my pains away. You're thanking him. You're praising him. That's also what? Putting your faith in action. Just like the woman with the 11 days that went by, she was thanking and praising God for her healing. Not trying to get it. No, she believed she received when Brother Hagin laid hands on her. Even though there was no manifestation of any change. Many times people lose the beginning of their healing because they think in their minds that something didn't happen instantaneous, but this is where we got to learn. Oh, no, 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 no. Before you even release your faith, you got to believe. That's going to be my point of contact right there. Right here while I'm sitting in my seat today. No, right there when they lay hands on me. Right now when I pray the prayer of faith. Right when I get anointed with oil. Right? A point of contact. So the moment when we say, I guess, it didn't happen. Do you know what happens then? You're nullifying. You're stopping your faith from working. You're stopping the healing power of God from working in your body. You need to continue to say with your mouth, I believe the healing power of God is at work in me. Remember I shared last week about that man that had that big tumor on his chest? And it was ugly and awful looking and nasty. But he believed one scripture. It is God all the while at work in me. It is God all the while at work in me, both to will and to do of his good pleasure. That became a revelation. He stood on it. He noticed the tumor began to shrink. 6 months. 6 months. And it was totally gone. Gradual process. But that's what he believed. That scripture, that one scripture God quickened to him. It is God working in me. It is God all the while at work in me. He believed he was working in every cell, every tissue, every fiber, every organ, every part of his body. And he got it. 6 months. Remember, we serve a God of timelessness. We are the ones that are in the time zone. And sometimes we allow that time to captivate and hold us in bondage. Don't allow time to be an enemy to you. Allow time to work for you by making the most of your time with your faith. Make the most of the time that you've been given with your faith. What do you mean? Speaking the word, meditating on the word, thanking and praising God for your healing, making the most of your time, not living in fear, thinking what might happen the next moment, what's going to happen now, next week, what is this going to look like next month, how about 6 months down the road, and allow your mind to take you down the negative road instead of you use your imagination that God has given every single one of us to begin to picture and see yourself the way God sees you. As healed and whole, you allow that word of God to paint a picture on the canvas of your heart. The word is going to, it's spiritual and meaning life-giving in its effect. So it's going to paint a picture in your heart first and on your spirit. And when you begin to see it in here, oh my, then you can have it out here. I said when you begin to see it in here. So the word of God will begin to paint pictures because you can use your imagination and see yourself well, strong, doing things you couldn't do before. See yourself doing that. Plan, see yourself, your future planned out, enjoying vacations, going with your family, enjoying your grandchildren, your children. See these things. Imagination, using your imagination. See the right things. Don't allow the enemy to bring that fear, and then with that fear, he brings all these negative pictures, and you're seeing yourself the wrong way. No, immediately replace those pictures that come with that fear and that doubt and unbelief, because those two twins that run together with fear, that's doubt and unbelief. So the moment when you get a negative thought or a negative picture comes before your mind, what are you going to do? You can't fight thoughts with thoughts. People so many times are trying to deal with it in their minds, but they're not saying anything. You cannot fight thoughts with thoughts. You have to fight thoughts with words, spoken words out of your mouth. You have to say, no, devil, I don't believe that. That's not true concerning me. This is what I believe. This is the truth. And I'm believing and saying and agreeing with this. And you say, by his stripes I was healed. I'm not moved by what I feel. I'm not moved by what I see. I'm only moved by what I believe. I believe God. It shall be even as it has been told me. You mean you say that right in the face of the circumstance? Right in the face of the circumstance. Absolutely. The circumstance needs to hear you. It needs to hear your faith in action of what you're believing. So we can't be quiet. So a thought unspoken, unacted upon, dies unborn. Let me say that again. A thought that is unspoken and unacted upon dies unborn. Right. Can't fight thoughts with thoughts, but we do fight thoughts with words. We cast down those imaginations, like it tells us in 2 Corinthians 10, 3 through 5. Cast them down. Don't let them stay there and begin to entertain them. Come on now, don't entertain those thoughts. Cast them down by opening your mouth and say, no, I don't, no, no, that's a lie. I choose not to believe it. I choose to believe the truth. This is the truth concerning me. By his stripes I was healed. Jesus took my infirmities. He already took care of this 2,000 years ago. By his stripes I am healed. How many times, Pastor Deb, you say it as much as it takes. If the thoughts keep bombarding, you declare, nope, that's not true, but this is what is true. This is what I believe. Say it with me. This is what I believe. You're confirming with your mouth what you believe with your heart. Never can get tired of this. So last week we began to look at, in the book of John chapter 4, the nobleman's son. What do we find out about the nobleman's son in John chapter 4, verse 46 through 53? Jesus had come on the scene and he was pleading with Jesus to come and heal his son. Because before Jesus came on the scene, they were all used to seeing something before they could believe it. But when Jesus came on the scene, he was trying to move the people from sight to just taking him at his word. just like today for you and I. Just simply taking him at his word. God, I believe your word. God, you said, I believe what you said. I believe your word. So Jesus was moving the people because they'd just been so used to seeing it and then believing it. He was trying to go, that man was like, come and I plead with you. Come to my house and lay your hands on my son and pray for him. Jesus said, unless you see, let's turn there real quick, John chapter 4. Unless you see, what did Jesus say? He said, we're looking at 46 through 53. Jesus said in verse 48, he said, unless you see signs and wonders and miracles happen, you never will believe, trust, or have faith at all. He's saying you've been so used to seeing it before you believe in it. He said, but now I'm going to introduce to you a new way. It's called the life of faith. Hallelujah. Just simply taking me at my word. So Jesus said, but the king's officer, verse 49, he pleaded with him, sir, do come down at once before my little child is dead. He was at the very point of death. It was a crucial moment. Verse 50, Jesus answered him, go in peace. Your son will live. So what did Jesus do? He simply spoke a word to that man, and then he waited to see what that man was going to do with it. Go, your son will live. Go in peace. In other words, he told him, go in peace, because he knew that the moment that man, that he spoke that word to that man, the tormenting enemy was going to try to bombard him with thoughts that were going to be opposite all the way back home. But he chose to believe the words of Jesus. Because it said, Jesus answered him and said, go in peace, your son will live. And the man put his trust in what Jesus said and started home. That's pretty good. Hallelujah. He said, Lord, your word is enough for me. If you said it, that's all I need. That's enough for me. Hello, I'm going home. Hello, son. No, evidently it was a two-day journey. Because when he got to going, he met some of his servants coming from the house where his son was. And they told him, the fever has left him. He said, what? He said, what time? They said it yesterday at this time, but 1 o'clock, the fever left him. Well, Jesus knew that was the time that he said, go, your son shall live. He knew. So what was this? This was a gradual healing. This was a process. As the man went and chose to act on simply what Jesus said, go in peace. Don't let the devil rob your peace. What does it tell us in Romans 15:13? There's joy and peace when we're believing. Joy and peace when we're believing God. If you see the enemy trying to come and steal your peace, say no, no, in Jesus' name. I refuse to allow the enemy to steal my peace. I have the peace of God in my heart. It mounts garrison over my heart and my mind. Philippians chapter 4, yeah. I ain't losing my peace. Don't lose your peace. And then he just went. He said, all right, Jesus, you said it. That's enough for me. That's why I always say, it's getting to that place where you know the word is enough for you. When you know the word is enough for you. The word is enough for you. It is all that God is. It can do all that God is. The word has the very life within itself to produce itself after what it says it will do. If it says you shall live, it has the power within it to, you shall live. It's life-giving. It's life-sustaining. It's life-quickening. It gets in you and begins to penetrate into your, when it begins to penetrate from your heart back out, it affects your body, every cell, every tissue, every bone, every marrow, every organ. It begins to affect it. But healing is spiritual. It starts in your spirit and then manifests outwardly. It doesn't come from out here somewhere. No, that's how the devil works. That's how fear and all those other things come from out here. Doubt, unbelief, fear, and tries to get in. But healing is spiritual. It starts in your heart and your spirit because you believe it. You're persuaded of it, and then it works outwardly and begins to manifest in your body. So that's what it happened. So this man, he went, and his son was what? Totally healed and restored. Raised up. Because the man chose to believe the word. Fever left him and everything. He got better and better and better until he was totally all right. Hallelujah. Jesus' words is just as good today as it was then. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He never changes. What he said then is just as good for you right there in that chair where you're sitting today. It's just as alive, it's just as powerful, it's just as quickening, life-giving. Jesus is here. Hallelujah. We're going to look at another one today. We're going to look at another Bible example of a process healing or a gradual healing. So let's turn to the book of Mark, chapter 8. Let's go to Mark, chapter 8. We're talking about healing can be gradual or a process. We must learn to accept both, whether it's instantaneous or a process. And learning how to keep the switch of faith turned on, if it is a process or gradual, so that we allow that healing power to continue to work in us until every bit is manifested, the full manifestation in your body. In Mark chapter 8, we're going to begin in verse 22. And we're going to be talking about the blind man at Bethesda. Everybody with me? Mark chapter 8, verse 22. I'm reading from the Amplified Version. And it says, "And they came to Bethesda, and people brought to him a blind man and begged him to touch him. And he caught the blind man by the hand, and he led him out of the village. And when he had spit on his eyes, put his hands upon him, he asked him, do you possibly see anything? Verse 24, and the man looked up and he said, I see people, but they look like trees walking. What's happening here? It's a process. It's a gradual healing taking place here. Verse 25, and he put his hands on his eyes again. And the man looked up intently, that is, fixed his eyes on definite objects. And he was restored and saw everything distinctly, even what was at a distance. So he could see close up and he could see far away. It all became clear. Verse 26. And Jesus sent him away to his house. Are y'all getting this? He sent him away to his house, telling him, do not even enter the village that you came out of, that I pulled you out of, that I took your hand and pulled you out of this village. Do not even enter that village. Do not even tell anyone there what happened to you." What in the world? Jesus is being right strong here with this, isn't he? Because he's trying to protect the man with his healing, that he won't be lose his healing, that his healing won't be stolen, because the village that the man was in doubt and unbelief. They didn't even believe in healing. That's why Jesus took this blind man by the hand, took him out of the village, said, "Come on over here. Now I'm going to pray for you." And then he uses a most different avenue of healing the man. He spit on his eyes. The people had never seen or heard of anything like this before in their life, but the Jews had a tradition that the first male that was born, his spit was anointed for healing. So Jesus was trying to let the Jews, Pharisees, Sadducees know that he was anointed. So he was blowing their traditions, their Jewish system up that they believed. Yeah. That's why he spit. He used his spit for a purpose, to let them know. Because they had that Jewish tradition, the first male born, his spit was anointed for healing. And Jesus saying, hey, I'm anointed for healing. Woo, boy, boy, boy. So right here, he caught the blind man by the hand, led him out of the village, and when he spit on his eyes and put his hands upon it. So he spit and Jesus laid hands on him. And then he asked him a question. And the man said, yeah, I see things, but I see people, but they look like trees walking. In other words, it wasn't very clear yet. Jesus didn't pray a second time. Listen to me now. He did not pray again. He laid his hands on the man again. It is scriptural to lay your hands on people more than one time, sometimes when you're ministering healing. But you have to know that by the Spirit of God, just like Jesus knew. He knew exactly what to do here. He didn't pray like it was, oh, that was doubt and unbelief. Oh, Lord, heal. No, He didn't pray again. He laid his hands on the man again. And then he put his hands on his eyes again. And the man looked up this time. He said, oh, yeah, I can see close up and I can see far away now. It's all clear. Woo, glory. And then Jesus gives this man a command. He said, do not return to that village you just came out of, where I just pulled you out of. It's doubt and unbelief in there, and you'll lose your healing if you go back there. Oh, this is so important and vital even to today. It is vitally important that you're going to a place that believes in healing. That you're surrounded with faith and healing. Not go back to a place that doesn't believe in healing. This is so vitally important to your walk of faith. That you're surrounded with people to say, hey, we're in there with you, man. We believe God with you. We saw you release your faith. We know you got it. Glory to God. Stay hold on. Don't let go of it. Glory to God. So he told him, don't go back there and don't. Not only don't go back there, then he said, but don't tell anybody. Why? Because he knew those people would immediately begin to put him down and say, you're crazy. You're out of your mind. That ain't right. Jesus, don't even deal with that. Don't even go around them. Don't go around them. They'll talk you out of your healing. Do you see what is important when you... Oh, Pastor Debbie, yeah, it's important about the church you go to. It's important about the people you hang around. They may not believe like you believe. They might try to talk you out of it because they never heard about faith before. They never heard about healing before. They don't even know that Jesus is the healer today. Hallelujah. Now, it's another thing. If Jesus said, go in that community and tell them what great things the Lord has done for you. He didn't tell this guy that. He said, get out of that community. Don't go back there and don't tell them anything. A lot of doubt and unbelief there. But some people, he told them, go back and tell. Why? Because the people were believing. The people were expecting. They were looking for Jesus. They were expecting great things for him. So when this guy went back, when the other guy went back, told his testimony about healing and Jesus healing him, then it just exploded and began to affect, like Pastor Chris said, 10 whole cities, the Bible says, in Decapolis. 10 whole cities were affected by one man's testimony. Jesus said, go back and tell. It just exploded when he began to say, hey, I was this, but Jesus healed me. He raised me up, and look at what he's done for me. And boy, people were like, oh my gosh, if he did that for you, I'm going to where he is because I know he'll do that for me. It built their faith. Do you see the difference? It does make a difference. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. How are we doing here? All right, we're going to look at one more. Let's go to the book of Luke chapter 17. Luke chapter 17. We're talking about gradual healing. Healing can be a process. Sometimes your faith will produce a gradual or process healing. We got to know how to respond, what to do, keep the switch of faith turned on, what we're believing and speaking and saying. In Luke chapter 17, and we'll begin in verse 12. And Luke 17, verse 12. And as he was going into one village, he was met by 10 lepers who stood at a distance. Why did they stand at a distance? Because in the public, they were declared unclean. They could not be out in public around people. Okay? In verse 13, they raised up their voices. So they got loud about it when they saw Jesus. They called Jesus, "Master, take pity, have mercy on us." And when he saw them, he said to them, "Go at once, show yourselves to the priest." Now, what is he doing here again? He's moving them from sight to just trusting him at his word. Trusting him, just taking him at his word. "By my stripes, by Jesus' stripes, you were healed." Just simply taking him at his word. Here, it says, when he saw them, he said to them. So they spoke something to him, and they were loud, out loud about it. When they spoke it, they were calling on the mercy of God. And Jesus saw them, and he said, "Go at once and show yourselves to the priest." Why? Because the priest would declare that they were clean again and could be seen back out in public. So when he saw them, he said to them, "Go at once, show yourselves to the priest." And as they went, we don't know how far it was from there to the priest. It doesn't tell us. But obviously it was a little ways, because it said, as they went, they were cured and made clean. Verse 15, then one of them, upon seeing that he was cured, turned back, recognizing, thanking, praising God with a loud voice. This man got excited. He noticed that his leprosy was cleansed. His skin was clean again. Verse 16, he fell prostrate at Jesus' feet, thanking him over and over. Can you imagine this? Can you picture this? Fell prostrate at Jesus' feet, thanking him over and over and over again. This man was excited, but he was grateful. He was thankful for what happened and just took place in his life. He fell prostrate at Jesus' feet, thanking him over and over. And he was a Samaritan. He didn't even have a covenant with Jesus, with God. He wasn't even in covenant with him. He was a Samaritan, had no covenant with God whatsoever. Here he is, a Samaritan, but this Samaritan comes back with the right heart. Verse 17, then Jesus asked, "Were there not all 10 cleansed?" Oh my gosh. This was so important to Jesus. He knew that all 10 of those lepers were cleansed. He knew it. They all went, they acted on what word he spoke, and as they went, they were cleansed. He said, Jesus says, "Were not all 10 cleansed? Where are the 9? Jesus is saying, "Look, I know I'm glad you're here and that you are happy and that you are thankful, but there were 9 more just like you who were cleansed and healed just like you. Where are they?" Do you see how important this is right here? That thanksgiving, that he came back to thank God. It was so vitally important. It was important to Jesus because he was still getting them to what? He's moving them from that sight thing to being thankful and grateful to the one that did provide for them what they needed. Verse 18, was there no one found to return to recognize? To recognize. See, when God heals people, he doesn't just heal you so you can just go on your merry old way and do your own thing and forget. No, when God heals you, he wants to heal others through you. He wants you to go and tell what great things the Lord has done for you. Not hide it and go out here and do your own thing. Like Brother Hagin said one time when a person came up in his healing line and he just felt by the Holy Ghost to ask the person, now, what would you like to be healed? And he asked him what he would like to be healed from. And he said, now, what for? And the man said, so I could go play tennis. He goes, sit down, you'll never be healed. It's more to it than just getting your own healing, going out here, doing your own thing, and never acknowledging. Let's go back to this. Recognizing where this came from, who it came from. Giving thanks. Number two, giving thanks. And praise to God, except this alien, meaning he did not even have a covenant. And he said to him, get up, go on your way. Your faith, your trust and confidence that spring from your belief in God has restored you to health. That, in other words, his faith, his confidence, when he came back and he thanked God and he praised God, it made him whole. The other nine lepers, they were cleansed. This leper came back. He recognized who it came from. He thanked God that it came from him. He was grateful for it. And that if there was any parts on his body that was ate off because of leprosy, whether it was part of his ear, his nose, his lips, his fingers, their toe, if any part had been eaten off, this man got totally healed right there. His nose was complete, his ear was complete, his fingers were complete, or his toes were complete. Everything was made whole instantly because he recognized who it was from. He thanked the one that it came from. He was so grateful. He prostrated himself before him. That's worship and honor. And he got totally restored, made whole. Nothing missing, nothing broken, totally whole. One, Jesus said, where are the nine? He said it could have been the same for them, but they just chose to go on their own way, do their own thing, never hear, never think, never recognize. Even though they cried out to Jesus, all 10 of them, when it started, they all 10 cried out to him. Are you getting this? They all 10 cried out to him, oh, well, I want you to heal me, Jesus. And then it's for you. Turn, do your own thing. Never recognize, never think, never. Come on now. No, no, no. God's goodness, God's mercy, God's faithfulness. It's the Father's good pleasure. He's willing and always willing. It is his will that you be healed and whole. Let's stand to our feet. Nothing missing, nothing broken. We're talking about healing being a process. It can be gradual. Sometimes our faith can produce a process healing. And how we need to learn to keep the switch of faith turned on by what? Acknowledging with our mouths what we believe to be true for you. What you believe to be true for you. You're acknowledging with your mouth. You're confirming what you are fully persuaded of in your heart because you already see it in here. The Word has painted the picture on the canvas of your heart. You see yourself healed and whole out of that wheelchair, off of those crutches, using your limbs, using your legs. Do you see it? The Word will persuade you. And it's the Word only. You could be positive, positive, positive all you want, but it's only by the Word of God that your faith will grow, be developed, and be exercised through your faith. Faith comes by hearing the Word of God. So the Word is faith food, and the Word is spirit man food. Feeds your faith and it feeds your spirit, your heart. When I was up praying this morning, a This is for somebody that's online. I was up praying this morning, and you've been having pain shooting through your wrist and into your hand, especially in this area right here. And it has really been like a heavy ache, a heavy ache. God told me to tell you, you are healed today. I rebuke that condition. I rebuke that disorder in your body, in your hand and wrist. I rebuke it in Jesus' name. And I call your hand totally normal, pain-free in Jesus' name. Right now. You mean right now, Pastor? Right now. In Jesus' name. That pain is gone and your hand is free. Father, we thank you this morning for your healing touch, for your healing anointing in this place. You said anyone can release their faith if they believe you. Anyone. All things are possible to them who believe. All things are possible with you. There is nothing impossible with you. So we thank you today for the people here as they believe you, trust you, release their faith for you. If there's anybody in here today and you would like...
Thank you for listening to this message. We trust that it helped you. You can visit our website at gocfc.com to listen to other life-giving messages, read the pastor's blog, or to find out how you can be a part of an upcoming service. We hope to hear from you or see you soon. God bless and have a wonderful day.